Life is not worth living without an intimate relationship with God. Think about what you could not live without. Maybe you think you can't live without your boyfriend or girlfriend, or your children, or your house. Maybe you think you can't live without coffee or chocolate or ice cream. Maybe you think you can't live without your smartphone or video games or Netflix. In the passage we'll be looking at today, we'll see that Moses couldn't live without an intimate relationship with God. This passage talks about the tent of meeting that Jesus set up to meet with God. But to understand the importance of this passage, we have to understand what the context is. What's going on in the story so far? Let me walk you through a recap. The book of Exodus is all about the Israelites being rescued by God from a life of slavery under the Egyptians. At this point of the story, Moses has led the people out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they stop at Mount Sinai. At this site, God spoke to Moses, giving him the Ten Commandments and various other laws and regulations on how to live as the people of God. But while Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, the people below got tired of waiting for him. They cast a golden calf, called it their God, and began worshiping it. At the start of chapter 33, we have the fallout of the golden calf incident. The Lord tells the people that he will send them into the promised land, but he will not go with them. Exodus 33 verse 3 says, "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." God promises that he will fulfill his promise and bring the people to the promised land. However, instead of God accompanying them, he would send an angel instead. The Lord says that if he went with them, he might destroy them out of anger. If you're Moses, would this be a viable solution for you? You might think, okay, instead of God, we get an angel, but we still get the promised land. We still get the beautiful new country filled with milk and honey. That doesn't sound so bad. I think that might be how many of us would think, but that's not how Moses thinks. Look at how Moses replies in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me." Moses continues in verse 15 and says, "Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Do you understand what Moses is saying? He's saying it doesn't matter about the angel or the victories or the promised land or the milk and honey. If God, you aren't with me, if your presence doesn't go with us, if you don't give me yourself, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere without you. And look at God's answer in verse 14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." The Lord answers Moses' request. He is pleased to hear this attitude from his servant. Isn't that the attitude that we love to hear from others? Think about this. A young man and woman are sitting on a park bench by a beautiful pond, hand in hand as the sun sets. In this idyllic setting, the girl looks deeply in her boyfriend's eyes and asks, "Do you love me?" The young man responds in a deep, resonant voice, "Of course I love you." She replies, "Why do you love me?" The man gazes back into her eyes and says, "Because you're a good cook, and you're neat and tidy, so I think you'll be a good housekeeper, and I think you'll be a good mother for our children." Now, ladies, if you were that young woman, would you be pleased with that answer? Of course not. What would you want your boyfriend to say? "I love you because you're all I ever wanted. You are the fulfillment of my heart's desire. I can't live without you, and I would do anything for you." How would that answer make you feel? I believe that was something of how God felt when he heard Moses' request. For Moses, life is not worth living without an intimate relationship with God. Now, how did Moses come to this conclusion? Why did he feel so passionately about his relationship with God that it trumped everything else? The answer is found in our passage this morning. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 to 11. If you read through this passage, you see that it sticks out like a sore thumb. The story doesn't seem to fit. It interrupts the narrative. Verse 7 says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting." This seems to have been a practice that Moses did regularly during the time the Israelites wandered in the wilderness up until the time the tabernacle was built. Why was it only mentioned now in this context? I think it was put here for the very purpose to show us why Moses' relationship with God was so precious to him. This passage teaches us three things about our relationship with God that makes it so precious. Number one, anyone can come to God, but few choose to. Number two, the wonder of God meeting with us drives us to worship. And number three, we are called to friendship with God. Let's look at each of those in turn. Anyone can come to God, but few choose to. Look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 again. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Moses set up a tent away from the rest of the people so he could meet with God, but this tent wasn't only for him. It was for all the people. This tent is called the tent of meeting in the NIV, but it could also be translated as the tent of assembly or the tent of the congregation. This tent was open for all the Israelites to enter. Verse 7 tells us that anyone, inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting. The word inquiring is translated as seeking in some other versions of the Bible. Do you hear what the verse is saying? Anyone who wants to inquire of the Lord, anyone who wants to seek God, to speak to him and to hear from him, they are welcome to come. The Lord was available to the Israelites. But the truth is that very few people took advantage of this privilege and opportunity. We see later in the passage where people went to the doors of their tents to watch Moses enter the tent of meeting, but they went no further. They worshipped, but they did so from afar. Why didn't the Israelites jump at the chance to meet with God? Why wasn't there a lineup to the tent of meeting like there are lineups to get into Costco today? Well, I think one reason was they were intimidated. They were afraid to be in the presence of God. When Moses first went up onto Mount Sinai to meet with God, and the Lord descended on the mountain, the people were terrified. Take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." It's a frightening thing to come before God. In one sense, it was right for the Israelites to fear God. When we come to God, our souls are laid bare. He sees into the depths of our being, revealing those things that we keep hidden. Our false masks that we present to others are ripped away. Excuses and justifications disappear. Lies are exposed, and we stand naked and vulnerable before the God of all truth. In C.S. Lewis's last novel, Till We Have Faces, Queen Oriol lives her life in deep bitterness because the gods have taken away her beautiful sister Psyche. Psyche was the love and joy of her life, and she was as beautiful as Oriol was ugly. And the god of the mountain took her away to be his bride. All her life, Oriol longs to bring her accusation against the gods. Near the end of her life, she is given a vision where she has just such an opportunity. But when she is told to read her complaint, her true motives and feelings are exposed. And when she realized that her true complaint against the gods was rooted in her own selfishness and jealousy, she had received her answer. She comes to this conclusion: I saw well why the gods do not speak to us openly, nor let us answer. Till the word can be dug out of us, why should they hear the babble that we think we mean? How can they meet us face to face till we have faces? When we meet with God, truly meet with God, our masks are ripped away and our true selves are revealed. It is in this divine encounter that the true word of our soul is dug out of us. But this can often be a painful and excruciating experience. We are scared of being exposed, and our masks and false selves seem to be our only defense. What we don't realize is that it is only when we have our false selves stripped away and our true selves are revealed that we can live in freedom and joy. And our true selves are only revealed through our relationship with God. David Benner writes, "We do not find our true self by seeking it. Rather, we find it by seeking God. Therefore, there could be no true self apart from this relationship. The foundation of a relationship resides in our life-giving relationship with the source of all life. Foundation of our identity resides in our life-giving relationship with the source of life. Any identity that exists apart from this relationship is an illusion." Do you hear what Benner is saying? It's only in a relationship with God that we discover who we really were, who we were really created to be. It's only in our life with God that we are truly alive. I love the ending of Till We Have Faces. After Oriole is confronted with her true complaint, after the word is dug out of her soul, now it is her turn to face judgment. The queen is brought to a beautiful garden where she meets her beloved sister Psyche. Oriole is struck by her sister's beauty, which is many times greater than when they walked together on earth. She is filled with joy at this reunion, but then the call comes. The god is coming into his house. The god comes to judge Oriole. As he comes, Oriole is overwhelmed. Let me read you her account. Each breath I drew let into me new terror, joy, overwhelming sweetness. I was pierced through and through with the arrows of it. I was being unmade. I was no one. The earth and stars, the sun, all that was or will be, existed for his sake. And he was coming. The most dreadful, the most beautiful, the only dread and beauty there is, was coming. And then, as God arrived, he spoke out his judgment. You also are Psyche, came a great voice. In Luz's story, Oriole, the ugly, who hated the gods with a passion, was transformed in her meeting with God. Her true self was revealed, and she found out that she too was Psyche. She was the beautiful, beloved bride of God. If you dare to come to God, you will discover the same truth. In your deepest self, you are a beautiful creation of God. You are called to be his bride, his beloved. And we are just like the Israelites. Anyone can come and inquire of God. Anyone can seek his face. We are all invited. Won't you accept his invitation? Come to him today, right now. In fact, if you hear God speaking to you, I invite you to pause this video right now and meet with God. Pray to him. Call out for his mercy. Let nothing stop you. That brings us to the second point. What makes our relationship with God so precious? First, anyone can come to God, but few choose to. Second, the wonder of God meeting with us drives us to worship. Take a look at verse 8 to 10. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of his tent. When Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all of the Israelites went to the entrances of their own tent, and they stood there. Why did they do that? I don't think it was out of respect for Moses as much as it was out of respect for God. You see, they knew what was going to happen next. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud representing God's presence would descend and come to rest at the entrance of the tent. The Israelites stood because they wanted to show respect for God's presence. They saw with their own eyes the evidence that the Lord who rescued them from Egypt by the 10 terrible plagues and the God who delivered them from the Egyptian army through the Red Sea was meeting with a mere human being. God himself was coming to speak with Moses. This amazing fact caused the Israelites to stand and worship. They understood what a miracle it was that the creator, sustainer, and ruler of the universe would descend and meet with a man. And this wasn't just for one man, for Moses. Now sure, Moses was a special person in God's sight, but as we have seen in the previous verse, anyone could come to meet with God. And that's not true for just for the Israelites. That's true for Christians today. In fact, in a very real sense, God's closer to us than he was to Moses. We have Jesus Christ living within us by the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." People have spent their lives trying to detect intelligent life from outer space. SETI stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The project started in 1959 to search for radio signals from intelligent life in space. We have been sending out our own radio waves in space for over 60 years. Literally hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on this search. And you know what the result has been? How many discoveries have all these initiatives made? absolutely zero. All that effort, all that time, all that money, and they've heard nothing, not a word, not a hint at any contact from higher intelligence from out there. If the SETI scientists made a breakthrough, if they discovered aliens, I'm sure there would be headlines, TV news specials, and endless stories on the internet. You know, as Christians, we can hear from the highest intelligence, from the greatest extraterrestrial being, from the very one who created the universe. This doesn't happen because we searched him out, but because he chose to reveal himself to us. Shouldn't our hearts be filled with gratitude and wonder at the privilege of meeting with the Lord Almighty? I believe our only proper response is to imitate the Israelites and rise up and worship. Has God ever met with you? Have you ever experienced his presence or heard his voice? If you have, then you should be filled with praise. I remember the first time God met with me. I wasn't looking for him. I was taking a walk in the woods trying to clear my head after my girlfriend had stood me up. My mind was filled with questions like, does she really love me? Then I thought, why should she? I don't even like myself. But then as I walked in the woods, I looked in the night sky and saw the trees silhouetted against the star-filled sky. And I thought, God made all this. And then I thought, if God made all this, then he must be here right now. And as soon as I thought that, the best way I can describe it is a real peace came to my heart. All those voices in my mind, they were silenced. It was as if God was saying to me, Peter, you're right. I'm here. God really got my attention that night. That was the first time I realized that God cared for me personally. And after that, I made my aim to find out who this God was. God has revealed himself to me since, over and over again. Let's just stop for a moment. Think about a time when God has touched your life. As you think about that time, thank him. Thank him for the miracle of the God of the universe bending down and revealing himself to you. This brings us to our last point. What makes our relationship with God so precious? First, anyone can come to God, but few choose to. Second, the wonder of God meeting with us drives us to worship. And third, we are called to friendship with God. Take a look at verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to camp. But his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. The Bible has many... To me, this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now you might be thinking, Moses must have been a very special person to have that kind of relationship with God. And you'd be right, Moses was special. But Moses wasn't the only one who was invited to be friends with God. If you're a Christian, you are called to be God's friend. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 13 to 14, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Who did Jesus lay down his life for? He laid down his life for us, for his friends. Jesus wants us to be his friends. But for many of us, we have problems picturing God as our friend. The Bible has many images and names of God. Let me mention a few of them to you. Father, King of Kings, Creator, Lord, Judge, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, Counselor, and Friend. Which of those names or images do you identify with God most strongly? You know, I don't know which name you identified, but I think most of us are slow to think of God as our friend. That's true for me as well. This past year, I've been on study leave, and one of my prayers was to experience God as a friend. One of the practices that has helped me to see Jesus as my friend has been to read through the Gospels, not to study them on an academic level, but to experience the scenes by placing myself in the story. I would often imagine myself as one of the disciples witnessing Jesus preaching, performing miracles, and reaching out to the lost and lonely. One thing I realized was that Jesus wanted friends. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says why Jesus chose the 12 disciples. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Do you see the reasons why Jesus appointed the 12? One reason Jesus chose the 12 was to send them out to preach. I always knew that. What he missed was the first reason of the verse. Jesus chose the 12 so that they might be with him. Jesus wanted friends. He wanted them to be with him. And as I read the Gospels with new eyes, I saw Jesus pursuing friendship all through the stories. Jesus called the friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to spend time with his disciples, with his friends. There's so many stories of Jesus going to parties, dinners, and weddings, all with his friends. God wants you to be his friend. What does that kind of relationship look like? Well, according to Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, we can glean two ingredients essential for friendship with God. First, friendship with God is a continual conversational relationship. It says in the passage that God spoke to Moses face to face. There was an interchange back and forth. Moses spoke to God, but probably even more importantly, God spoke to Moses. If you don't have a relationship that's mutual, where both parties have a chance to talk and listen, then you don't have a friendship. Have you ever known someone who is outgoing and engaging, but every time you meet with them, all they do is talk? They never give you a chance to share how you're doing? How deep of a relationship can you have with such a person? You know, I think for a lot of us, that's how our prayer life is. When we pray, we dump all of our problems, our concerns, our requests to God, and then after we're done, we get up and go on our way. We may even ask God questions like, Lord, what career do you want me to take? Should I move to another city? Should I marry this woman? But after we ask the question, we don't wait for an answer. Instead, we get up and go on with life. It's funny, but we don't treat our other relationships that way. I wouldn't come up to you and ask you, how do you think I should handle this situation? And then walk away before you could answer. That'd be insulting. And yet for many of us, that's exactly how we treat God. To have a friendship with anyone, the relationship must be mutual. There must be both talking and listening. And that includes our relationship with God. That means that our prayer must change. Instead of talking all the time, we have to leave room for God to answer. What that means is we have to give time to silence where we can listen for God's voice. I remember when I began incorporating silence in my prayer times, I was at a CBOQ assembly, and the speaker, Ruth Haley Barton, challenged us to spend 10 minutes of silence every day, waiting upon God and listening for whatever he wanted to say to us. So during my devotion time, right before reading the Bible, I would set my watch for 10 minutes and wait in silence, quieting my heart and listening for God's voice. That was 6 or 7 years ago, and I still maintain that practice. I found silence to be foundational in my prayer life. Most of the times I don't hear anything during my time of silence, but I'm always more prepared to hear God speak to me through reading the Bible. Let me challenge you with the same challenge I received from Ruth Haley Barton. Spend 10 minutes every day in silence, especially before you read the Bible. During that time of silence, quiet your heart. Become totally present to God and listen for his voice. Begin a conversational friendship with God today. A second ingredient for friendship with God is this. Give God much unhurried and relaxed time. This passage ended with an interesting statement. Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses came and went, but Joshua made the tent his dwelling place. I think that Joshua pictures for us a crucial ingredient for friendship with God. Time. Unrushed and unstructured. Think about your closest friendships over the years. Wasn't one reason they were your friends was because they let you hang out with them? They were available and you spent much time with them. I think of my friends. They were never the most popular or the most gifted people or even necessarily good people. They were people that were always there, who I knew I could call up and hang out with. Often we didn't do anything exciting or productive. Actually, time with my friends usually was exactly the opposite. We wasted so many hours together doing nothing constructive. But it was through that time that friendships were forged and strengthened. Have you ever thought about wasting time with God? That might be hard for you to picture, but that's exactly what Jesus did. In John chapter 1, we see Jesus meeting with his first followers. You know what they did together? Do you think they went out to preach or heal or drive out demons? No. They just hung out and did nothing. Look at John chapter 1, verse 37-39. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. You know, during this COVID-19 crisis, many people are bored. They feel trapped, don't know what to do. But this is a perfect time for us to develop a friendship with God. And you can do that even if you're locked up in an apartment all by yourself. Set aside large, unhurried blocks of time where you can pray, listen, and read the Bible. You may even want to set aside a day for a personal retreat. If you need help in knowing what to do, you can look on the B2BC English Congregation Facebook page, where I've posted a retreat schedule. Life is not worth living without an intimate relationship with God. What makes a relationship with God so precious? First, anyone can come to God, but few choose to. Second, the wonder of God meeting with us drives us to worship. And third, we're called to friendship with God.